Old Testament. Tonight we're going to be looking at the New Testament. The title of tonight's message is Faithfulness Part 3. Faithfulness Part 3. Hebrews chapter 3. What's that? Amen. Well, that's good. Then at least you'll be able to take and find the books of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 3. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for the testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, that's where we're going to be next, but let's pray. Yes, sir?
Do you need the monitor when you're preaching?
No, sir.
Okay.
I don't like listening to myself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your love. We just pray now that as we go through this, that we might get something out of it that we can use for our own lives. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray now that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, it's one thing to say a person is faithful, and another thing to be really found faithful. You know, many times we feel that we're doing what God wants us to do, when in reality we're not being faithful to what God has called us to do. So many times we're not faithful because we do not realize what we need to be faithful about. In the last 2 weeks, we have seen that we need a desire to be faithful, we need to be dependable to be faithful, we need to be faithful for the duration. We also saw the benefits of being faithful, that the Lord will be with us, we will be prosperous, and we will be well favored. I believe in the book of Ephesians, Paul gives us a guide as to how and why we need to be faithful in certain things in our lives. I want to look at a few things tonight and give you some principles to live by. It's one thing to say that we are faithful in certain areas, but what about being faithful in our own lives, our personal lives? We are to be faithful in our walk. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5 and look at we're going to start at verse number 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, my dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye are sometimes in darkness, but now ye are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to take and be faithful in our walk. You know, if we are to walk as though, not as those who are in the world. We're not to do the things that the world does. We're not to take and go the places that the world does. We are to be careful of the walk that we're in. We are to guard our testimonies. We are to be faithful to the things which God has told us to be faithful to. We are to guard against sin and sin not. In 1 John 2:1 it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, as I was doing this, I got to thinking about that. I am so glad that I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Catholics feel that they have to go to a priest to have their sins forgiven. They have to go and confess their sins to someone else other than the Lord Jesus. But I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are to take and guard against sinning, and if we sin, we have an advocate that we can go to. After all, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we sin, we can go to him, ask for forgiveness, and guess what? They're gone. You know, there was a man one time that came to the altar, and I went down and I dealt with him, and we prayed for some sin that was in his life. About 2 weeks later, I gave the invitation. He came back to the altar, and we started praying, and he was praying for the same sins that we had already prayed for 2 weeks earlier. And I said to him, I said, "Why are you praying again for those sins?" He says, "Well, they keep coming up in my mind." I said, "Yeah, but they don't come up in God's mind. God has forgiven every one of them because you asked him to forgive them. Every time you pray and ask him to forgive them again, he's standing there and he's going, 'What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore.'" You know, what he's saying is there, God does not remember our sins once we've asked for forgiveness. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus, and they're gone. We need to understand that. But we are also to guard all of God's commands. In 1 John 2:3 it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Well, what commandments are we to keep? Are we to keep the law? Nope. However, we are to keep 9 of the 10 commandments. What is the only commandment not mentioned in the New Testament? Who can tell me? The Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath day. Why do we not have to keep the Sabbath day anymore? Because Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. When he died on the cross, he took that law away upon himself. But the other 9, guess what? We got a hold of them. Thou shalt not, Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, as I go down through them with people on my car, they look at me and they're going, wow, you mean to tell me they're still for us to keep? I go, oh, yes. Every one of them. Every one of them. We are to take and guard all of God's commands. Not only that, but we are to guard God's Word. Look at Ephesians 5:6. Just look at that verse real quick. It says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's not the one I was looking for. Let no man deceive you with vain words. There we go. For because, in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Also, in 1 John 2:5 it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. We need to take and guard this old book. We need to take and guard God's Word. We need to hide God's Word in our heart that we don't sin against Him. We need to take and know what's in God's Word. Wednesday night I shared with the people at prayer meeting what happened with us Wednesday as we went to, on our way to school. There was a young man, I had to stop and get gas at Circle K, and their young man come up to me and wanted to give me some literature. And I saw it was the Watchtower. And I looked at him, and I'm pumping gas, and I said to him, I said, let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? He says, well, I hope not hell. I said, you're not sure, are you? Well, he says, I think I might go to heaven. I said, but you don't know for sure, do you? He goes, well, no man can know. I said, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. And I went through the plan of salvation with him. How we are all sinners. How there's a penalty for our sin. I said, because our penalty of sin, I said, we're all doomed for hell. However, God gave us a gift. I showed him what that gift was. Now, I said, it's up to you to receive or reject what I just gave you. He said, well, do you believe in the 144,000? I said, yes, sir, I do. And I said to him, I said, who are they? He said, well, they're the redeemed of the Lord. I said, exactly. But I said, who are they? He said, well, nobody knows. I said, oh, yes, we do. I took out my phone and I went into my Bible app and I went to Revelation chapter number 14. Remember that, folks. Revelation chapter 14. And it gives in there who the 144,000 are. They were young men, virgins. I said to him, I asked him, well, is there any women in the 144,000? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, not according to this. And I read it to him, and he's looking at it, and he's reading it himself. I said, Now, I said, let's take a look and see who this 144,000 is. Went back to Revelation chapter 7. And I said, who is this? Would you like to read them? He goes, 12,000 of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, and he went down through all 12 tribes. I said, now who is the 144,000? Well, according to this, they're Jews. I said, do you think? I said, and who do you think they're going to come to evangelize? Well, the whole world. I said, no. Why was it God picked 12 tribes and 12,000 from each tribe? Well, I don't know. I said, do you think maybe those 12,000 are going to go back to their own tribe and evangelize them? After all, the tribulation is not for the Gentiles, it's for the Jews. To turn their eyes to the Lord Jesus. He goes, I've never heard this before. I said, you do now. I said, guess what? It's all in the Bible. He goes, wow. I said, here's my card. If you have any questions, give me a call. But guess what? His blood is not upon me, it's upon himself. Because he did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the reason I told you that is that we need to be ready at a moment's notice to give an answer to false doctrine. I don't know how many times I have said this, but I cannot say it enough. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we need to be able to prove it by God's Word. I know what I believe. And I know I can prove it by the Word of God. But we're to guard God's Word. Not only that, but we're also supposed to guard our conversation. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use, to edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. We need to be faithful in the things which we say. We are to guard our words. We should not use language of the world, those who have new hope. In everything we say, we should bring glory and honor to the Lord. We should bring blessing, not cursing, to Him. We need to be careful, little tongue, what we say. Amen? We sang that this morning in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father above is looking on love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. What we need to realize is that we need to be so careful and guard our tongue. Not only that, but we're also to guard our anger. Ephesians 4, 26-27 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. We are to guard ourselves against anger to others. Our walk can be compromised by the way we handle our anger to others. We should not let the sun go down upon our anger if we have ill against somebody else. You know, it's so easy to say things under anger, isn't it? All of a sudden, we can say, Kathy, you dirty, rotten little brat! Right? But you know what? It's hard to take those words back, isn't it? It's hard to grab a hold of them and say, oh, Kathy, I'm so sorry I said that. Right? Listen, we need to guard ourselves when we're angry. You know, my dad taught me well how to control my anger with my children. When my dad would be really angry with me, he sent me to my room. And there I sat until his anger went down a little bit from what I did. And all of a sudden, the door would open up. You know, that was the hardest part of the whole thing, was sitting waiting for him to come in, because I knew I was going to get a spanking. I knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I knew I was going to get whooped. And, I mean, if he would have just came in and whooped me right away, it would have been a lot better. But I had to sit and wait. Huh? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I waited and waited and waited. And you know, the madder he was, the longer I had to wait. Well, then he would come in and he'd go, do you know why I'm in here? No, Dad, tell me why you're in here. Why is it you came into my room after you sent me here? I never said that to him. Not once. I go, yes, sir. Do you know what I have to do to you because of why I'm in here? No, sir. Well, that isn't what I said. I just go, yes, sir, I realize that. He says, okay. Bend over! And then that was the end of it. I'd bawl for a little while. Wouldn't be able to sit down for a couple days. But anyway, but he never came in and beat me out of anger. He never gave me a spanking out of anger. He always let his anger cool. And that's what we need to do. In Ephesians 4:32 it says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, we need to take and be tenderhearted, and we need to forgive one another many times, even though people are at odds against us. But the second thing then we need to do is we are to be faithful to each other. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. It says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do Theodius, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might confront your hearts. We need to be faithful to each other. What was Paul saying there to the church of Ephesus? He's saying, I'm sending someone to you that is going to tell you what our affairs have been. They're going to open the books to you and show you what everything that we have spent our money on. They're going to open the books and show you everywhere that we went to. Our life is going to be an open book to you. And we need to realize that we need to be faithful to each other in that way. When people have problems, they are to and they need help, we are to help them. We need to be so conscious of each other's needs many times, that we can see what their needs are. Paul was a needful person. He had many needs. If you go through the books of the Bible and go into the book of Ephesians, you'll see, or Philippians, you'll see the church of Philippi was the only one, the only church that looked after his needs. But there, you know, we got widows in our church. Did you know that? We got widows in our church. Just look at Betty. I mean, you know, yeah, you know that. She's a widow. A widow woman. Anyway, that was funny, but that's all right. But you know what? Our widows, they need to have yard work done. They need to have work done on their cars. They need to have windows washed. They need other things done around their homes that they cannot do. And we need to be faithful to take care of them. You know, we have people in the church with needs which we need to realize, and we need to be sensitive to those needs, find out what they are, and help them with whatever their needs are. But then wives are to be faithful to their husbands. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Here we see that wives are to take and be in subject to their husbands. In our society that we live in today, that's no longer the norm. We have television programs that discourage women from being faithful to their husbands. Desperate Housewives is one of them. My wife tells me what that one's all about. No, not really. But why are they so desperate? Because they don't know what it's like to be faithful to their husband. You know, we need women who are faithful and will stand by their man, so to speak. We need women who will be faithful in the home, in finances, and in the family. You know, I really believe that it was not God's intent for women to work. I don't believe that. I do not believe that it was God's original intent for women to work out of the home. After all, look at Father Knows Best, or look at Leave It to Beaver. Mrs. Cleaver was always home, right? But it wasn't until society got to a point where we wanted more and more and more things, and one income wasn't enough to pay for the things that we wanted. Then, both mom and dad had to go to work. Both mom and dad had to take and have a living to get the things that we felt that we needed to better our lives. If we would live within our means many times, the husband could be the breadwinner and the wife could be home taking care of what God intended her for her to do. A wife needs to be faithful to her husband. But then, a husband needs to be faithful to his wife. Start reading at verse 25, chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall two be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you be in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Listen, husbands, we're not off the hook. We are to take and be faithful to our wives also. I was looking at the divorce statistics while I was writing this message, and between 2010 and 2015, 7 in 10 people who got married were going to get a divorce. People who had gotten married between 1990 and 2000 was 50-50. Those who were married between 1980 and 1990 was 40%. And those who were married between 1960 and 1970 was down to less than 20%. Prior to 1960, it was 5%. Wow. They say divorce rate has been going down the last 4 years, and that's because less people are getting married. They just cohabitate. The number one reason for divorce, though, is the same. It's an unfaithful partner. You know, is it any wonder that many times we have messed up children? Mom is not really with dad, and dad really isn't with mom, and they really don't know what a normal living arrangement is. The Bible says that we need to be one in the Lord. The Bible says that we are to love our own wives. Does that mean just people in Bible time, or does it mean now? I think it means now, just like it did then. Husbands need to be faithful to their wives. You know, we should treat our wives as queens. You know, just think what it costs to try to court a new wife. You know, I wouldn't want to ever have to go through that again. But, you know, we need to pamper our wives, and we need to make them know that we love them. You know, we need to put blinders on our eyes and so we don't look at other women and don't let other men look at our wife. You know, we need to take and stay off the internet and the websites that we shouldn't be on. I always think of Fireproof and how that he was on the websites he shouldn't have been on, looking at women he shouldn't have looked at. You know, that's what happens so many times in marriage relationships. All of a sudden, someone sees someone that looks so much better than what you have. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to be careful, or you can run into trouble. Children need to be faithful to their parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Whoa! Hey! Do you know what that's saying? That's saying that mom and dad can take you guys out. They brought you in, they can take you out. No, that isn't saying that. But you know, it's real hard for a teenager many times to make right decisions on what they need to do when they're being led down the wrong paths of life. What our kids learn at home or on the internet or in the back rooms, so to speak, is what they're going to use the rest of their lives. Children need to be obedient to their parents. Our kids need to be taught that it's right to be faithful to their parents. With all the negativism in the world today, our children are told it's all right to express themselves and not be faithful to what their parents say. Do what you feel is right and not what a parent says is right. Make your own mind up instead of doing what you're told to do by your parents. You know, it's no wonder we have stabbings and beatings and shootings in our school, even in our elementary schools. You know, we have so many kids who have been left to make up their own minds about what they should do instead of having parents who will teach them how to do it. We have too many kids being raised by grandparents because mom and dad are strung out on dope, booze, or in prison and can't make decisions for themselves. You know, I give a lot of credit to grandparents who step up to the plate and they raise their grandchildren. After all, they've already raised one set of children. And yet, they're willing to raise their grandchildren. Children need to be faithful to the parents which God has given to them to be raised by. We need to be they need to be faithful in obedience. They need to love them and do as they are told to do. Parents need to raise their kids in the way the Lord would have them to be raised. How to love the Lord. How to give a portion of what God gives to them back to God. You know, that was one of the things I was always taught. My dad always paid me for working in the store. Didn't pay me much, but he always paid me. He usually gave me $10 a week. And that, back in the 1960s, that was a lot of money. He'd give me $10 a week for 5 days of work. Figure out how much I made a day. Actually, it was 6 days of work because we worked Saturday too, but he would give me $10. Never forget it, on Sunday morning. And he always gave it to me in five and five ones. gave it to me in 5 and 5 ones. We go to church, and we get home, and they say, how much money you got? I go, $9. Good, he says, what'd you do with the other one? I said, I put it in the offering. He says, good. Remember, that's what you need to do. One day I came home, and he said to me, he says, how much have you got? I say, $10. He says, why didn't you put $1 in your offering plate? I said, I forgot. The next Sunday, you know what he did? He gave me $9. I said, what's this? I'm supposed to have 10. He says, this one goes in the offering plate. I'm going to make sure it goes there. Boy, you know what? That got me thinking real hard that, yeah, I owe that to God. I need to give that to God. And from then on, I always gave the portion that belonged to Him. We should be good parents and teach our children well. Not only that, but a servant needs to be faithful. Look at chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. It says, servants, be obedient unto them that are your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye servant as man pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Listen, we all, believe it or not, are servants if we have a job. Each of us have someone that we need to answer to. We need to be faithful to those who write our paychecks. One of the things that I always did in life is I was always to work early. I put in an honest day's work. I worked hard at what I did, and I always made sure that I made enough money for my employer to pay my paycheck. And it seemed like at the end of the year, when it came raise time, my name was always at the top of the list for the most raise. I made a lot of money working for the companies I did, but I gave them an honest day's work for an honest day's labor. We are to do our best of our ability to bring a profit to that company which we're employed at. You know, we need to be faithful to bring honor and glory to God. Many people today feel that it's just a job for a paycheck. I saw some statistics the other day that right now the millennials or X, whatever it is, what they're doing now is they do not feel that education is important. That they will work at a menial paying job just to get by in life. That is what they have been brainwashed to think in school. Oh, you don't have to have higher education. You can work at McDonald's and you can make $10 an hour and you can get by on that. But, have you been to McDonald's lately? Over here, they're putting them in now, but over in Coolidge, they've already got them. They're called a cozy. What it is a great big screen sitting by the door. You walk in, you punch that screen, the menu comes up on the screen. You punch in there what you want to buy. It comes up on the bottom, and it'll give you a total of what you've got. You push done. It'll tell you what you owe. You put your credit card in. And it runs it off, gives you your slip out there, you pull your credit card out, and by the time you can walk from that screen over to the counter, they have it ready for you. That's part of it. The other part is this. You can take your cell phone, go into the McDonald's app, and you can order on your way to McDonald's. Tell them you'll be there in 5 minutes. Go into the drive-thru. Tell them what your number is on your ticket, and they'll have it ready for you at the drive-thru. And you can just go on through. How do I know I do it? Yeah. Anyway, but listen. Yeah, they went up on minimum wage. These people are making all kinds of money. But guess what they did? Through electronics, through technology, they got rid of 3 people per shift. That's 9 people per McDonald's. Now, you take McDonald's nationwide. How many people did that put out of work? But they're making big dollars. Now all of a sudden these people are going, wait a minute, hold it, time out. I don't have a job anymore. You know what else happened when they went up with the minimum wage? I read an article on this in Wall Street Journal. What happened is it put everybody into a higher tax bracket and it knocked them right out of getting food stamps. So now these people are going, wait a minute, hold it. I can't work as many hours as what I was working because I can't get food stamps anymore. You have to cut my hours. So guess what? They're not making any more money than what they were making before. And they're going, huh, maybe that was really not too smart. Listen. The politicians knew what they were doing. They knew by giving them more money, it would take more people off the food stamp line. It would take and raise their income tax to a higher level. You know, listen, we sometimes are our worst enemies. Amen? But then it says masters and employers are to be faithful to their employees. Look at 6:9. It says, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Wow. Doesn't make any difference if you're a boss or not. Doesn't make any difference if your name is Bill Gates or not. Doesn't make any difference if your name is Donald Trump or not. It doesn't make any difference who you are. If you are an employer, you better take care of your employees. You know, my dad, for years when we were in the grocery store, I can remember how he took care of our employees. He always made sure that they had a bonus at the end of the year. If they needed a certain day off or something, he made sure that they got it off. He treated our employees very, very well. I can remember the extra perks he used to give to the employees. He would give them free groceries, meat, extra money if they needed it. I can remember one time my dad even co-signed for one of the girls that worked for us for a car. Employers don't do that anymore. But he did it back then. If a company wants their employees to be faithful, they need to be faithful also. In the day and age we live in today, everybody's just a number. But that's not the way it should be. All of us need to be faithful in everything that we do and say. We need to do the things which are honoring and pleasing and glorifying to God. And if we could be faithful to God and do what He has for us to do in our lives, we would have a fulfilled life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done.